I want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to our morning Bible study here at Waldo Baptist Church. You're going to have some cooler weather, looks like. And I don't know about you, I like it like that. Yes. We're going to be in the book of 2 Thessalonians. We're going to get into chapter 3 here in just a minute. I'm going to finish up what we were studying about. I've been teaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I can't remember when I taught last. So, whenever it was, we're going to finish it up. I won't be here this evening. Brother Nate will be teaching my class this evening. And Kay and I are going to try to go to Branson. We're going to be leaving in the morning, and hopefully we'll survive. And Joyce and Marvin Barnhill are going with us, and hopefully they'll survive. Somebody asked me, well, what's your goal? I said, to survive. Oh, me. But we appreciate you all's prayers. It'll be the first time in 3 years we've gone anywhere. It wasn't a hospital or a doctor. And this will be a new experience for us.
Willie ain't going, he ain't up to it.
Willie's busy. Yeah, Angie's got stuff for him to do. They're camping, and then they've got some other things to do. For all you folks watching online, good morning. We're just chatting with each other right now, but we're getting ready to get started in the book of 2 Thessalonians. The latter part of the second chapter and then beginning in the third chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians. Before we begin, Ray Kelly's sister passed away, Sybil. And Ray is there with that family. And let's have prayer for the family before we begin. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Miss Ray to you and her family in the loss of her sister, Sybil. Pray that you'll just overshadow them with your loving kindness, Lord, and hold them close to you. We ask you to bless those that are watching online this morning and us here in the auditorium, that we might, Lord, not only hear your word, but put it into practice in our own hearts and lives. We thank you for Brother Nate being here as we start a new chapter in not only his life, but the life of our church. And we thank you for always being there in your faithfulness, and Lord, for bringing him and Kelsey here safely. And we also thank you for Trad and for Cammy and their family and the way he served over the years. So we ask, Father, that you bless us with your sweet Holy Spirit. Guide us and lead us and help us not only to hear and understand, but to apply it in each of our lives. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. When we were studying here in the book of 2 Thessalonians, I wanted to go over some things again that he said here in the latter part of that chapter 2, because I don't think I ever got through everything on it. But in verse 15 of chapter 2, one thing that he says is, so then, brothers, stand firm. Stand firm how? Hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or mouth or by letter. And what he wanted them to do was just to persevere and to continue on. And it's amazing how what I'm going to teach today works out with Brother Nate coming on for the first time to be preaching in our pulpit as our pastor for the first time, and the scriptures that we're going to be sharing together this morning, because they're very applicable to the time of our church and what is going on. And so as Paul writes to them, this is what he's saying, to hold firm to the teachings that were shared with you. And then he goes on, verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. You see, this church was undergoing persecution, if not severe persecution. And as he closes out chapter 2, he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to show them that the Lord will, and I've found this to be true always through my ministry and through my life, is the Lord gives us the grace that we need at the time we need it, and the strength that we need at the time we need it. And he's very faithful in that, to be able to do that. And he says here, Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us internal encouragement and good hope. And you know, the thing that we mentioned as we were teaching through this is God's call for salvation is irresistible grace. It is a grace that always leads to salvation. And what he's saying here, that God gave it to you. And let that be an eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. In every good deed and word. And I think that one thing that we all realize as a Christian is whenever we are obedient to the Lord and we see that in our lives and we know that we've been faithful to the Word, we've been faithful to what God has called us as a Christian, it does encourage us. It does lift our hopes. It does give us feelings of satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives. I know before I was saved, the one thing that really was missing in my life was satisfaction and fulfillment. It seems like I was never satisfied. It seems like I was never fulfilling. Well, I didn't even know really the purpose that I was here for. And so that lack of satisfaction and fulfillment in my life was a thing that I struggled with a lot because of that. And through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, that totally changed, because He is the only thing that can bring satisfaction into your life. And you'll always be lacking if you don't have Christ in your life. No matter what you try to fill it up with, no matter what you do, there's always that place in you, because God made you for himself. And he's the only thing that can fill that in your heart and in your life and give you that peace and satisfaction and fulfillment in your life as you walk with him and as you serve with him. Now we're going to get into chapter 3, and I'm calling it the marks of a faithful church, or the marks of a faithful congregation. I said previously that this really fits with what's going on now as we bring in a new pastor to work with the other elders, pastors in our church. And we begin a new chapter. This is a new chapter. Trad begins a new chapter as he has moved on and the Lord has moved him on. Now we begin a new chapter with Brother Nate and Kelsey and his family. And so that's an exciting time. That's a good time. And as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica here, he is speaking many times as we go through Scripture and we study it, we're studying about what a pastor should be, what his calling is, what his responsibilities are in serving the congregation and the church. Well, this, as you look at chapter 3, it reverses it. It's the responsibility of the congregation, of the church, to the pastors. And so that's what Paul is writing about here. And he's telling him what he needs them to do. He's telling them what he needs them to do. And the first mark that we see, he says, finally, brothers, pray for us. Finally, brothers, pray for us. Now, if there's anybody that has been called into the ministry that have had strength and stamina and carried by the Holy Spirit and the power of God on his life, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's been snake bit, he's been run out of town, he's been in everything you can think of that he has gone through in his life, and as he has gone through it, and as he has, God has used him to build up these churches and congregations all over the country. The thing that he says that he wants first of all from the congregation is that they might pray for him. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, remember those who led you. And I go back and I always remember who was here before me, who led this church. And Brother Pepper was one of the first pastors, I believe, of Waldo Baptist Church. I think even Brother Roosevelt Denson, Pepper was before Brother Denson. Well, Brother Denson was, I called him Uncle Boozy. Okay, that's what I called him. And his family was very close to us. And I remember visiting his house many times. But Brother Pepper actually started the very first bus ministry here at Waldo Baptist Church. He put seats in the back of a pickup truck, I think, and haul kids to church in the back of a pickup. Of course, that's against the law today, you know. But anyway, he started all this, and I think back to him, and I think Brother Pepper's wife was blind, wasn't she? Yeah, she was technically blind, and I think about how that must have been a struggle for him trying to take care of her and pastoring the church. And what I want you to see, each one that has come has been different, but God has used them all. But God has used them all. And that's what's so exciting and so important, is to see how God will use Brother Nate now. How God will use him in carrying on the ministry and the furtherance of the church as we go forward from here. But Paul says, now you pray for us. And Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you. And there's a scripture over here in Philippians. Philippians General Electric Power Company. Yeah, right here. I'll get to it in a minute. Philippians chapter 2, verse 29. Philippians chapter 2, verse 29. And this is what it says. And it's talking about Epaphroditus, who is coming. And it says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him. You know, as Brother Nate comes in to pastor our church and to work with staff and go, it ought to be a joyful time. As it said about Epaphroditus here, you welcome him with great joy. You welcome him with great joy. Well, you say, well, what about if we miss Brother Trad? Well, Brother Trad chose to move on at this time. And that's what he wanted to do. And that's what he felt like the Lord wanted him to do. But now God has brought in someone else that I feel very certain in my heart that God has really brought him here as his man to lead the church. And so we ought to be joyful about that. We ought to be excited and looking forward to that. And as he was talking about how they should treat Epaphroditus when he comes in, he said, welcome him with great joy. And that's one of the things that we need to see that the scripture talks about here. Now I'm going back over and I'm going to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 12. And it says, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And so the Bible talks about here, and I talked to Brother Trad about, to Brother Nate about this as he came on. I said, if you've never done this before, preaching two sermons on Sunday morning isn't easy. And when I was the senior pastor, I preached two sermons on Sunday morning, taught Sunday school in between, and then taught on Sunday night as well. Let me tell you something. A lot of people don't realize this, but if you preach with passion and vigor and a Holy Spirit, preaching 45-minute sermons like working 8 hours. And I would go home and I would be absolutely give out. Just absolutely give out. And when it says worked hard among you, that's the truth. That's the truth. Another thing that a lot of people don't realize is a pastor's on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's never a time he's not on call. And that isn't easy. I remember a lot of times Taylor or Summer would be at our house for dinner on Sunday, and I'd be answering the phone 3 or 4 times before we would get through with dinner, lunch on Sunday. And that was part of it. And so what I want you to realize is that as Brother Nate comes in and he begins this ministry together with us, now in a lot of ways he's going to have more help than he's ever had because of old codgers like me and others that are here. But you got to realize it isn't easy. It isn't easy. But I fully believe that it will be greatly rewarding and greatly satisfying. And I expect the church to go on from where it is and grow from there because of who God has sent here. Not because of who has come, but because of who God has sent here. And so these are some of the things we look at when Paul said, pray for us. Now, what did he want to, one of the things he wanted them to pray for, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. I wonder how many times do we come to church and we're praying for the message that is going to be giving that day, that it would be effective, that the Holy Spirit of God would take the word that the pastor has spoken and use it to touch people's heart, change people's lives, edify the congregation, and all these things. I wonder how many times we pray as we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or whenever it is, that the message would not only be heard, but it would be spread rapidly. And so especially today when we're online and there are people watching all over, we don't even know who all are watching all over the United States, and we'll be able to pull the message up not only that day, but in months or years to come. And so one thing that we as a congregation should be praying for when we come to church on Sunday or whatever is that the message would go forth with power and that God could take the message that has been preached through the Word of God and make it powerful and able, successful to touch the hearts and lives of people. That's what Paul asked them to pray for. Pray for the message. Pray for the message. That's what he says here. Now notice what it is he says. And verse 2, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. Now, so what else did Paul say that they needed to pray for? The safety of their leaders. The safety of their leaders. And you say, well, we ain't got a war going on in the United States, and we haven't got everybody in dire straits right now. Let me tell you something. With your pastor, there's always a war going on. It's not a physical war, it's a spiritual war. And let me tell you something. One reason, and if you've tried to get me to be your friend on Facebook, let me tell you something. Not only are you my friend, I love you very deeply. But I don't get on Facebook because I don't want to say something and somebody take it and run with it and make it say something entirely different than I meant it for. Because a pastor's reputation is very critical in his congregation and in his church and in his community. And there never has been a time when that's more easily fractured made into deception and quoted the wrong way as it is on social media today. And so you do need to pray for the safety of the pastors, because one thing Satan delights in doing is taking down someone that God has called to lead his flock. And I remember an instance in this church where I was at Barbara Warsher's house, and she had a swimming pool behind her house. And I was there because Melina, who became my daughter-in-law, had asked me to come and talk to her boyfriend that was there with her about the Lord, because he was getting ready to leave and go. He had been down here to visit, and he was getting ready to leave and go back home. And she didn't know if he was saved or not, and she asked me to come and speak to her boyfriend about the Lord. And I did, and I came there, and I believe it was even during Bible school, I can't remember, and talked to her boyfriend at that time about the Lord before he left and went back to where he was going. And Barbara said, Melina, in fact, he left before everybody else left. And Barbara Worsher said, Melina hasn't got a ride home. Could you take her home? And so she got in the car with me, and it's just about a mile up the road. I took her up the road about a mile, let her out at her house, and went on about my business. Well, somebody saw her riding with me down the road in her bathing suit and started a rumor about me and her. And that's how easily things can happen. And that was something I had to go personally and address and put down myself, because something like that can ruin your ministry before it ever gets started. And that's why you pray for those that God has placed in leadership over you. That's very important, because credibility is tremendously important in the ministry. I don't ever want to be put in a place where it would make my church look bad, where it would make the congregation look bad. I don't want that to ever happen. And Lord willing, it never will. But that's what Paul asked them to pray for. Pray for our safety and pray for us as we go out. That was another thing he asked them to pray for. And he goes on to say, not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one, and we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing his will. Now then, so the first thing he said was he wanted them to pray for the message and then pray for the messengers. Pray for the message and pray for the messengers. Now, the second mark that we see of a great congregation is in verse 3. And he says in verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Now, what's he want them to do? He wants them to go on believing and go on trusting in the Word of God. He wants them to go on believing and go on trusting in the Word of God. Not only pray for us, but trust the Word. Trust in those that have delivered the Word faithfully to you, and trust in the Word of God. And that's what he's saying to them here, that trust is faith. When we talk about trust, we're actually talking about faith. We're talking about, he is saying to them that the God, first he says, the Lord is faithful. This is something that Satan always wants to challenge us at, that the Lord is faithful. Well, if the Lord cared, if he was faithful, he wouldn't let you go through this. Well, if God was faithful and he cared about you, then this wouldn't happen to you. And so on, so on, so on. This is always the way that it is. And that's the only way he knows to attack. And so he's saying to them, go on in your faithfulness and in your trusting in the word of the Lord. And that was the next mark that we see. Now then, verse 4 is the next mark of a great congregation. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. He had confidence, and he is saying to them, we go on not only in your prayers life, not only go on in your trusting and in your faith, but he said go on in your obedience to the Word of God. Go on in your obedience to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is a wonderful thing, but it won't do you any good if you don't obey what it says. If you just hear it and say, well, I know what that says, that's not going to change anything. It's only when you allow it to change you. It's only when you allow it to change your walk, to change the way you live, to change the things you say, to change you in your daily walk in life. Because believe me, you've got people that are watching you. I know as Taylor's grown up, she's been watching me, because she's talked to me about it before. And I know that. I wish I'd have brought it with me this morning. She wrote a poem for Father's Day. She wrote a poem, and this, I don't know how old Hazel was at that time, but it had Hazel's footprint on the paper of the poem that she won. And I don't know if you remember that poem or not, but I've got it in my study, yeah, and I keep it there. But it's about Papa, you're older than me. I take my hand. We've got a long way to walk together, and so on and so forth and so on. That's responsibility. That's accountability. That says, Papa don't ever want to do anything to hurt that little girl's heart. Papa doesn't ever want to do anything that would make her think less of him or another friend of hers think less of him. And so we live our life, and he's saying, accountability. Accountability. You must have accountability in your life. And how do you have accountability? By being obedient to the truth that God has given you. And I say it over and over again, but the last thing my mother would always tell me before I leave the house, two things. Son, I'm praying for you. Son, you do what's right. You do what's right. Paul Warsher called me one day, and they had a problem there in his church in Virginia. And Chato said, Paul, are you going to call John MacArthur? And he said, no, I'm not going to call John MacArthur. I'm going to call Brother Jack. And so Paul called me and told me the situation, told me what was going on. And I asked him this question, Paul, what is the right thing to do? And he went through the scripture and told me, and I said, that's what you do. I said, you always do, if you do what is right, then God will take care of everything else. But you must do what is right. Even if you don't like it, even if it hurts, even if you don't know, you do what's right. You do what, and that's what Paul is saying to the church. You follow the truth. Just be obedient to the truth that God has given you. And if you'll do that, God will richly bless you. God will richly bless you. So that's what we see when we look at this. Now let's see what else he says. I was reading from verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Steadfastness in Christ. Steadfastness in Christ. He wanted them to be steadfast in what? In God's love and Christ's perseverance. Steadfast in God's love and Christ's perseverance. The only way I can accomplish that is to always look at the cross. You ever get the mully grubbies? You ever feel sorry for yourself? Sure you do. We've all been there. One time or another, we'll all be there, you know. Woe is me. What does Trad say? I think that was Igor. I don't know all these characters he comes up with. But that was, I think that was Igor. Woe is me. When I get the feeling like, woe is me, all I have to do is turn around. Look at the cross. No. I've never been crucified. I've never been beaten till I was almost dead. I've never been nailed to a cross and hung between heaven and hell. I've never been spit on, had a beard pulled out, had spikes shoved down over my head till the blood ran down my face. I've never been butchered to the place that when people would look at me, they would say, you couldn't even tell it was a man. So when I get the mully grubbies, I remember how much God loves me. I remember how much God loves me. And when I think I can't go on, I go back to the cross and I look at Christ. And I see Christ's perseverance. He could have quit. He could have said, it's not worth it. He could have said, God, I can't do this. He could have said, I'm not the one. Because from the time he was born, he picked up a nail in the father's carpenter shop. He knew one day those nails would drive him to a cross. But he didn't stop. He kept on. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he persevered to the point that a country boy like me That's a sinner by birth and a sinner by nature, born under the wrath of God, could become a child of God and live forever in paradise with the Savior that died for him and the God that so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. And when 10,000 years have come and gone, and the earth is no longer there, it's been burned to a cinder, and there's new heavens and new earth. And I walk in majesty with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I walk with Delmer, and I walk with Brother Ed, and I walk with Roy, and I walk with Brother Brinker, and I walk with my dad, and I walk with my mom, and I walk with my grandparents, and I walk with my niece there in heaven, where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I shall take him by the hand, and we'll walk forever and ever through that promised land. It's worth it. It's worth it. That's what Paul was saying to them. Church, church, you can't believe how wonderful it will be. Love, support, pray, and help those that God has sent to lead you. And God will bless that congregation, and they will multiply. And you get to see what God can do, not what men can do. Amen? And I know that's true of Brother Nate as he comes on. I was amazed at how I went through the scriptures and studied for this, at how it fit exactly what we're going through as a church now. And that God always is on time, and his word is always true. And I never have to worry about, am I teaching the right thing? As long as it's from this book, it's always right. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come into your house on the Lord's Day to share together from the Word of God, to know that we're a part of the kingdom of heaven, to know, Father, that you're still on the throne, you're still in control, you're a sovereign, almighty God. And now you have sent us a man to lead us, and we know in our hearts that he's here because of you. And we look forward as we journey on this way of life together as a church of what you're going to do and the great and mighty things you will accomplish through him and through the staff that you've given us here. Thank you for this beautiful, wonderful congregation of people that you have brought by the grace of God to serve together here at Waldo Baptist Church. May we continue in your grace. May we continue in your love. May we always be faithful and trusting in a great and almighty God that gave us his only begotten Son.